Hey, I'm Maggie Donnelly, and I'm a director with the Sustainability Reporting Practice at Dixon Eaton. We work with C-suite executives and sustainability and communications leaders on reporting and stakeholder communications. I'm here to talk about how to elevate your sustainability reporting and engagement in a fast-changing, uncertain world. We know this can be hectic work and that these are hectic times. Based on some of the challenges and concerns our own clients are facing, we thought it'd be helpful to spend a few minutes talking about some key trends and what you can do to exercise more control over your company's journey. Each of these comes with risks and challenges, but also opportunities that can help you have greater control over your company's sustainability reputation. So let's get started. The way we see it, there are six big realities, which are bigger than just trends. They're here and now, they can't be ignored. And yes, they're likely to change and evolve over the coming year or beyond, but they are our realities today. The first big reality is that sustainability communications has become a balancing act. And quite frankly, it's kind of a circus right now. We've been dealing with the polarization of ESG and sustainability for a while, but companies are still trying to walk that fine line between acting on sustainability commitments and avoiding calling too much attention to them. They're worried about being called woke, but can't slow down progress because the pendulum may swing the other way. More than two-thirds of CEOs surveyed in a KPMG report say they remain committed to their climate strategies, but they're adapting the language and terminology they use to communicate it. And we're seeing similar approaches with DEI commitments. Companies need to find a balance in how they document and disclose what they're doing while being aware of greenwashing and greenhushing concerns. And the best way to determine the right balance comes down to just one question. What do your key stakeholders care about? And that takes us to reality number two. Materiality really matters, and you have to know your stakeholder. Materiality matters more than ever now. Stakeholders have higher expectations, and this is how you can meet those expectations while not trying to boil the ocean. You might have heard about double materiality. It's becoming the gold standard, and it's going to be required in some frameworks, such as CSRD. While the definition of double materiality differs by framework, the core components are the same. You need to identify the issues that matter most for your business and your stakeholders. We call this an inside-out and an outside-in perspective. Data from GRI shows that over 75% of large companies are already using double materiality. But double materiality can be daunting, so approach it one step at a time. Start with identifying your main stakeholders. Conduct interviews or surveys to score the relevance of sustainability topics to them. Then analyze those top scores to understand the impacts, risks, and opportunities for your company. Overlay these with the topics that you've already identified as mattering to your business. We also have a free checklist on the Dixon Eaton website that can help you get started with your double materiality process. Reality number three, optional may no longer be an option. Regulatory changes in Europe, California, and New York are putting pressure on more companies to report for the first time or expand their disclosures. Even private companies who are able to stay under the sustainability reporting radar for years, they are now expected to own their impact, and it's their customers making the demand. As customers attempt to understand the impact of their full value chain for their Scope 3 emissions reporting, more companies will receive requests for sustainability data and policies. In fact, CDP reported this summer that corporates' supply chain Scope 3 emissions are 26 times higher than their operational emissions. So it's no surprise that companies are starting to turn to the supply chain to drive improvements. So how can you prepare? Keep an eye on the upcoming regulations that would impact your business and start putting the systems in place now to collect the relevant data your customers may soon be requesting. And get to know EcoVadis. It's not if, but when will a customer request your involvement here? Everyone is feeling the framework overload, and yet the frameworks keep coming. That's our reality number four. Get this, there are over 600 reporting frameworks and voluntary standards. You're probably familiar with the big ones, GRI, SASB, TCFD, the UN SDGs, CDP, and EcoVadis. Some of the newer ones include CSRD, the Task Force on Nature-Related Financial Disclosures, and the latest, the Task Force on Inequality and Social-Related Financial Disclosures. With so many frameworks, it's not surprising that 93% of reporting U.S. companies use more than one, but it can be tough to decide which ones are the best fit for your company. One way to streamline the list is to focus on frameworks that are required or expected of you based either on your industry or your relevant geographies. Then add any frameworks that are critical to your key stakeholders, as well as ones that your competitors have begun reporting. For upcoming mandatory frameworks, do a dry run at least 1 year before it's required. This will help you uncover gaps and set up processes that you can shore up before it's actually go time. Reality number 5. Disclosures and stakeholders are drowning in detail. How much is too much? As all these new frameworks roll out and stakeholders become increasingly sophisticated in understanding disclosures, companies are going to be expected to report more data points. At the same time, people's attention spans continue to shrink, and they can get lost in increasingly longer reports. The average report length now is 75 pages, and plenty of reports are topping 150, 200, and more pages. So companies are reevaluating what each of their stakeholders needs, and in some cases, creating customized materials that are designed just for them. These might include executive summaries for investors, Excel data sheets for analysts, highlights pieces for customers, and internal videos and trainings for employees. We're also helping clients embrace more concise writing, compelling infographics, and advanced wayfinding techniques so that they can make their reports more navigable. And finally, reality number 6. 2025 could be the year that the rubber meets the road. As companies were setting sustainability goals, such as carbon emissions reductions and diversity metrics, many used 2025 as their first mile marker. And now reality is hitting, and we may have to signal that we might not meet that goal, often for justifiable reasons. Maybe we need more time, maybe the goal is no longer relevant or needs to change, or the ultimate excuse, COVID changed everything. Literally thousands of companies have set 2025 goals, and even the UN SDGs are expected to be due in 2030. Sustainable Business Network, BSR, surveyed member companies and found that roughly 35% of their time-bound goals expire in 2025, and another 40% are pegged for 2030. As we head into 2025, you have the opportunity to own the progress you have made and be transparent on why some goals may not have been met. Reaffirm that your company is committed to that goal or a revised version of that goal, and show how you're continuing to improve in that area. I want to leave you with 5 ways to address these challenges so that you get credit for your progress to date, so you can talk about your commitments, demonstrate a path forward, and yes, be honest about some of the realities, risks, and difficulties that might be impacting your sustainability journey. The first is to embrace materiality. It enables you to focus your people, resources, and reporting on the right topics. And it also helps you improve relationships with your stakeholders. Number 2 is welcome legal and internal audit to the table. This is increasingly important because of all the compliance implications of sustainability reporting. Having these teams involved will improve your processes and data, so embrace the structure and formality that they bring. Test new ideas internally first before you commit. These dry runs before reporting a new framework or testing something with a key stakeholder, they help you shore up your gaps and show leadership, hey, we can do this. It's not going to be as bad as you think. Think about how you package your information. Those long reports may not be effective enough anymore. So think about ways to customize communications for different stakeholders. Finally, be authentic, be realistic, be bold, but be careful. Stay true to who the organization is and be realistic about what's possible and what's needed from you. Be bold in the areas that you can own and show leadership, but also be careful. Don't overpromise and don't try to overdo what's beyond your capabilities. As a closing thought, remember, when it comes to sustainability, The goal does not need to be the best or tell the best story. The goal is to be your best and tell your story the best way possible. I hope this was helpful. If you find that you're facing some of these big realities, we'd love to help. You can reach out to DixonEaton.com, and you can also visit our website to learn more about how we are working with companies on sustainability reporting. We wish you the best of luck as we kick off reporting season.